Shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one through whom they occur. It would be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he wrongs you 7 times in one day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I am sorry,' you should forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." The Gospel of the Lord. May I make a somewhat strange request of you? Would you join me in 3 days of prayer and even a little penance for our United States bishops? There are 441 active and retired Catholic bishops in the United States who will all be meeting this week for 3 days in Baltimore from November 12th today to November 14th Wednesday. To give you a little perspective, there are 435 representatives in the U.S. House of Representatives. So the two bodies are roughly equivalent in size. Our prayerful and penitential support of our episcopal leaders is urgent, because one of the topics they will address this week is their own responsibility and accountability for the abuse crisis. Here's what the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, states about their meeting. During the assembly, the bishops will discuss and vote on a series of concrete measures to respond to the abuse crisis, such as third-party reporting mechanisms, standards of conduct for bishops, and protocols for bishops resigned or removed for abuse. In other words, the bishops are going to hold their own feet to the fire when it comes to accountability for the abuse crisis. And that has been lacking, at least legally speaking. But they do have a serious challenge. No one bishop can fire another bishop. And even the whole body of bishops in a country called an episcopal conference cannot fire a bishop. A bishop's boss is the Pope, who alone hires him and can therefore fire him. To understand why that's the case, imagine the position of us pastors. I, as the pastor of Immaculate Conception, cannot fire Father Juan Guido as the pastor of Christ the King. I have no authority to do that as the IC pastor. Furthermore, even if all the priests of a deanery decided to get together and oust Father Juan from Christ the King, we would have no authority to do so. A pastor is appointed by the bishop, and a pastor is removed by the bishop. We may not like that, but that is a personal problem. Similarly, with bishops, the episcopal conference can police itself only up to a certain point, but it has no authority to appoint bishops to dioceses nor to remove them from a diocese. Only the Pope enjoys that prerogative. That is why the bishops need our prayers and our penance, so that the Holy Spirit will guide them to put the needs of the church above their own personal preferences, their own fears or failures. Today is the first day our 441 bishops are together in Baltimore, and they will all celebrate Mass together this evening. How providential that they too will hear the first reading from Titus. St. Paul urges his newly ordained bishop, Titus, saying, "For a bishop, as God's steward, must be blameless, not arrogant, not irritable, not a drunkard, not aggressive, not greedy for sordid gain, but hospitable, a lover of goodness, temperate, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast to the true message as taught, so that he will be able to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute opponents." Wow, talk about holding your episcopal feet to the fire. St. Paul lists the do's and the don'ts of a bishop in the first century and in the 21st century. As if that were not enough inspiration for the bishops today, November 12th is also the feast day of St. Josaphat. He was an archbishop who died trying to maintain the unity of the church in Poland, divided between Catholics and Orthodox. Mobs killed him, and he died a martyr for the faith in 1623. We wear red today to symbolize the blood he shed as a bishop for Jesus. The scriptures provide our bishops with their job description, and St. Josaphat supplies our bishops with a saintly example of how to fulfill that job description. And that is why our bishops need our prayers and our penance today. They are called to reach the heights of bravery and courage that need heroic proportions. Let me add one last word. Please do not let personal disagreements or conflicts with our bishops prevent you from praying and doing penance for them. I regret, I too have had my disagreements and dislikes, and I have not always been very charitable in my speech. We often disagree and dislike things with our spouses or even with our best friends. We do not always agree, but that does not mean we stop loving them or abandon them in their hour of need. So try to put aside your pet peeves, your personal dislikes, and join in solidarity with our bishops for 3 days as they meet in Baltimore. Let us pray that they receive the grace to be brave bishops like Titus and Josaphat were back in their day. Praise be Jesus Christ.